following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
FlyPod.com, I'm Mark DeWitt. Welcome to Cover to Cover. Well, Kim Harrison, she's back. She's a number one New York Times best-selling author. It's The Undead Pool, one of the next to the last books in this series, huh?
That's right. Yep, welcome. We're creeping up onto the end.
Wow, so what are people saying about this? I mean, the end.
You know, it's only been out for a little while, and the reviews have been fabulous. But they're, you know, the readers, they're torn. They like where the story is going, but they all know that there's only one book left. And so I've been getting a lot of mail saying, no, no, stretch it out. And then I get mail saying, no, no, end it when it's done. And I'm just telling the story, and it's creeping up on the end. It's getting pretty tight.
So, Rachel Morgan, she's your protagonist in this book.
Yes.
She has been for how many years?
Oh, well, in book years, she's 3 years older than when we started in Dead Witch Walking. And she's gotten a lot more mature. She's made a whole lot of mistakes. She's had a couple of boyfriends. Well, for me, you know, the crux of the book is the emotions that go on in the book. And she's finally decided that she's going to give Trent Kalamak, her nemesis, a try and hope that he doesn't break her heart or she doesn't break him in half, I guess would be the better way to put it. And so the readers are just really excited about this possible relationship.
Well, you know, there seems to be trouble in River City. And, of course, there are a lot of river cities around the nation. Will the city survive after the Undead Pool?
I don't know. You know, she destroyed San Francisco when she was there. But I think she pulls it off. Yeah, magic is starting to backfire. And it's coming from Loveland Castle, of all places, which is where she's made a ley line, which is a source of magic. So it's coming from her ley line, and it's following her around wherever she is in the city. And as soon as she figures out that whatever this thing is following her, of course she has to take care of it. And it's causing magic to misfire. And, you know, people are freaking out, and the vampires are going to sleep, which you would think would be a good thing, except when the undead go to sleep, then all the living vampires tend to party hardy. And it's a madhouse. Society is breaking down. I wanted to see if I could, as a writer, show how people act and react when society starts to break down, and it gets pretty hairy.
Well, it seems like Rachel's starting to take up a brand new hobby with the one that she's really supposed to be keeping an eye on, keeping him safe. golf is the game, huh?
Yes, okay. Now, I am learning how to golf, so maybe a little bit of that, you know, kind of squeaked in there, putting a little bit of myself in there. But yeah, the first chapter takes place on a golf course, and that's when we first find out that that magic is starting to go wrong. She's chaperoning Trent Kalamak, and one of the reasons I like this chapter so much is it shows Rachel and Trent interacting easy and confident. He trusts her to take care of him because she's his bodyguard, and trusts her to take care of it in the way that she wants to, not necessarily the way he does. And just watching them interact in a smooth and easy and trusting manner, that was when I realized that, yeah, this might be the guy for Rachel, and I'm going to have to write one more book and make sure it lasts.
Well, Kim, you know, I'm interested in your golf game. I mean, how did you, and it must be pretty good. I mean, probably what, Tiger Woods is probably teaching you, so you're
going to
be on the...
I learned to golf when I was about 14, and then I put the clubs away, and I recently moved back home to my home state in Michigan, and rekindled my relationship with my mom. Well, my mom and dad are both really good golfers. My dad was a scratch golfer. My mom still likes to get out on the links. And so we've got a date. When it's warm, we've got a date on the golf course every Thursday.
Well, I was kind of concerned, Rachel, here there's a guy, and I believe he's wearing like this lime green almost outfit. I think it's so gaudy.
Oh, Al, my demon.
Oh,
yes, yes. Now, Al is interesting. He was one of my characters that I thought was going to be the big, bad, ugly for the whole series. And the closer that Rachel and he got together, the more she understood him, the more he understood her. And we figure out why he does the bad things he does. And eventually he turned into more of a mentor relationship with her. Well, in this book, it's interesting. She oversteps it. And the relationship between her and Al starts to break down in a very real and concrete manner, which I did not expect. And that's when those surprises come up as a writer, it's always more fun because it's like, whoa, I didn't see that. And it's like you're reading it as you're writing it. And so I've got to get these two back together again, but I don't know if they're going to be able to mend this rift that Rachel has, I don't want to say accidentally created, because she did it knowingly, but I don't think she knew how much it meant to Al. And I don't want to say too much more because I don't want to give away any spoilers.
Oh, well, I guess we'll just leave the golf game right as it is.
Yeah.
All right, well, Rachel's having some problems, like you mentioned, with her spells going all wrong and everything, but is it really her? That's kind of the question that you'll be looking at in the Undead Pool, huh?
Yes, yeah. The last two books, I don't know if you remember, but I was going to end the series at 12. But when I got to starting that 12th one, I realized that I needed a 13th book, not only for the relationships I wanted to develop, but I wanted to take a look at the magic and how, you know, I've always said that magic stems from the ley lines, but where are the ley lines getting it from? And so I took those two extra books and started developing how the ley lines get their energy. And it's more of it's really odd. I bring in the elven deity, the goddess, where, you know, they pray to the goddess and they get their magic, but the goddess really isn't a deity. She's just a sentient a hive mind, so to speak. And she's throwing off this energy that shows up in ley lines. And that's so actually what's going on is Rachel's kind of messed things up with the goddess. And it takes me a couple books to both figure out as a writer how I want to handle this, and then for Rachel to actually take care of it.
So 13 will be the
13 is
last
the end.
One. So did you kind of like lie in bed maybe and say, you know, with all the witchcraft and the fairies and vampires and everything else I write about, 13 just might be a lot.
You know what? I actually did. I did consider that 13 would be a very excellent number to end on.
That's pretty good. The Undead Pool, a lot of your books have that Clint Eastwood mm-hmm. type title to it. Was there a Clint Eastwood title in like The Undead Pool? Did he have a book?
He
similar?
Did. The Deadpool.
The Deadpool.
The Deadpool. I think it's a Dirty Harry.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not a Western, but he was in it.
So as you continue on with other writings, uh-huh. Will you be maybe looking at other movie stars, movies, and
that's a great question. I do have a couple of series that I've written, you know, manuscript number one for. Nobody's really seen them, and I'm trying to title them. I had that very same thought. What am I going to do? And I kicked around the idea of taking my favorite music artist and playing on the song titles. And it just wasn't clicking for me. But I did finally settle on a theme, so to speak. It has nothing to do with movies and nothing to do with music. It completely surprised me. And I really can't tell you what it is because it's such a cool title. Somebody else is going to grab it and run with it. I want to keep it hidden for a little bit longer.
You know, if I were looking at something like that, I might look at Broadway plays.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. I mean,
they are very
Wicked
recognizable.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
The Phantom of the Undead, or, you know.
Titles are tricky. And, you know, us authors, we work really hard to get the best title, and then we turn them in, and our editors change them. So being able to have a theme to your series kind of helps. You tend to get your title a little bit more than if it's just whatever happens to be in your head at the time.
Now, of course, you've got a great editor, so I'm sure that she works really good with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we really, you know, I don't legally have a say in the title or the cover, but they want to keep me happy, and we discuss it, and she'll tell me if she's going in for a cover conference and what I might like to see on it and what might work, and oftentimes she'll come back and say, you know, we did white leather, we don't really want to go back to the black leather and the corset work, so maybe you can put an outfit with this, this, and this into the books, because that's what would look really great on the cover. So I've often tweaked the text to match what the cover is going to be.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So who draws your cover? I mean, is it the same artist all the time?
Yes, Larry. I think I'm going to mess his name up, but I think it's Larry Ronstadt. He is the one. He has been designing my hardcovers since they first started coming out as hardcovers, and he does a fantastic job. I am so lucky to get him to design the covers. And on this one, we get Trent on the cover, which is really a first.
You know, your books are sexy. They're a sexy read, and so are the covers. I mean, that's got to be an eye-catcher for a lot of people
mm-hmm,
walking by.
Mm-hmm. This cover in particular, we went with the blue because we haven't really done a blue cover in a while. And they put a lot of attention in where Trent was in relation to her. And if you look at it, you can see he's behind her, so she's still front and center. His back is to her, so he's not really a romantic element at that point. And the smirk on his face really says it all. So, you know, there are so subtle with the things that you can do on this cover to really tell the reader what's inside.
Talk to me about the series as a whole. This series is...
This series is, as far as what it's about, you mean? It's about a 20-something woman. There has been a plague brought about by tomatoes, believe it or not, genetically modified tomatoes, and it's wiped out a quarter of the world's human population, leaving the witches and werewolves who've been in hiding to say, hey, we are no longer a minority, let's come out of the closet. And they had to in order to save the human race, because society was falling apart. So now we're 40 years later, but there's little twists on it, like the Underground Railroad might have been smuggling witches, not African Americans. So, but it's following back to what Rachel's doing there. She's a crime solver. She's an independent. She's very willful. She makes a lot of mistakes. And because I've been able to work with her for 13 books, we have been able to see her grow and change and mature and make mistakes. And as a writer, it has been a real joy to be able to work in the same world that long.
And is Kim Harrison writing this series with Rachel Morgan pretty much your first series? Is that correct?
It is the first series as Kim Harrison, yes, but it is not my first series. No, I originally published under the name Dawn Cook, and it was more traditional fantasy. And you can still find them out there, the Truth series and the Decoy Princess series. And I still get fan letters. I signed a couple of Dawn Cook books at my first signing the other night. And it's always a joy to see those come through, because even though my writing has improved and changed and evolved and I think matured a little bit, seeing those first scratchings that made print just still, they mean something. They really do.
Well, when you first started, that was the 1990s.
Yes,
is that correct?
That is what was popular back then. Mm-hmm.
So how has your writing changed from maybe that very first book to this last book, The Undead Pool?
Well, it's changed quite a bit. I found that my pace is a lot faster now. The books take usually a span of a week instead of like a whole year or 2 years. The characters, they're now living, I like writing about people living in a time that like we're living in with computers and cell phones. It's a detriment though. It's harder. I had to switch gears because I've got a cell phone. My character has a cell phone. you got to get rid of that cell phone in order to cause trouble, in order to put blocks in front of your protagonist. Whereas if you're in the 18th century, you know, it's just, there's so much space and time, and communication is so lousy. It's easy to find trouble there. It's harder to get out of trouble nowadays. It's just that phone call is right there to save you.
Get on the horse, Paul. Get the sheriff.
That's it, exactly. Okay, so.
Yeah,
and I'll be back in 3 days.
Well, The Undead Pool, of course, the next to the last book, or a couple more left here.
There is one left, and we have a title picked out. It is a Clint Eastwood title, but I am not allowed to share it yet, and it's killing me. I know what the title is. I've seen the cover. It's absolutely fabulous. And I'm going to run into my editor on this tour, and I'm going to rattle her cage and say, do you know how hard it is to be out here talking about The Undead Pool and then the next one and not be able to say what the title is for the last book?
There is a title coming. But Rachel, now, will she find a love interest here in Trent?
Yes, I'll be honest
forever
with
and ever.
You. I'll be honest with you. Trent is her forever, ever guy. And if they can hold it together and get through the blocks. I am a true romantic at heart, but I've got this horrible, cruel streak. So there's going to be happy endings all around for everybody who survives.
But Trent. That's just the way it is, right? The Undead Pool, of course, the brand new book. What are you hearing about this one?
So far, the reviews have been really great. The readers have been watching Trent and Rachel dance around the issues for a long time, and they are very satisfied and happy to see things progress. Of course, you're going to get the bad review here and there. There is a few complaints out there that Rachel and Ivy, that was a long-running thread that I kind of closed off at one point, and I actually had to tell the readers in the text and say, this is not going to happen, because too many people wanted it to, and, you know, they're a good match, but I chose not to follow that, not because they were two women, but because Ivy is a vampire, and she has issues yet with domination and abuse and drug abuse. It's not drug abuse, it's blood abuse, but it's a metaphor for drug abuse. And she's still a little messed up, and I did not want to have my protagonist, who's grown and matured, to make that bad decision, even though this is her best friend. So I had to let that go, and that's when Trent really came into focus.
Kim, if I remember right, you have soundtracks to some of the characters?
I used to have soundtracks. I use music a lot when I'm trying to get a better handle on my characters and what they're dealing with in their situations. But for these last couple books, I've had a really good feel for what's going on in their heads. So I haven't got any new music for the characters. I've got a music page that lists it out, but I haven't added anything to it for a couple years, and I feel kind of bad about it, but this is how my creative process works, and when I start working with new characters, I'll have a new playlist.
So, say that playlist for The Undead Pool, mm-hmm. which you really don't have, but some authors will, like, play music in the room,
yes,
while they're writing.
Yes.
Do you do that, or do you need totally
I do. Occasionally,
space?
I have an hour-long Cricut tape that our disc...
Buddy Holly?
No. It's just crickets. Seriously, oh. It is crickets. And I will put that on a loop, and I will listen to that. But usually, I've got a lifetime subscription to a radio, to Sirius, and I listen to Chill, and I listen to Spa, which is very low-key. It'll put you to sleep, but it has no lyrics, and I really need no lyrics in order to concentrate.
So it is music, or is it like bubbles?
It's music.
Okay.
It's music. It's tonal. It's like what you might hear if you go to a spa. And you go to the spa, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
look at me.
Of course.
Yeah,
we
of
all
course.
Do.
Look at my nails.
And then Chill's more upbeat. It's the soundtrack you might hear in an action movie with the, you know, the drum and the beats. And so I switch between those.
So it's just not the bells that you might hear in a monastery or something like that?
Although I would listen to that.
Well, with The Undead Pool, what is your writing style on not only this book, but other books that you've done? I mean, do you have a set way that you write this?
Oh, I am a 9-to-5-er, and I will go into my office and I will sit down and venture out to get tea or a cookie or lunch, or I have two dogs, and so they need to go outside every now and again. But mostly I am in my office, and I will write rough draft. It takes me about 3 to 4 months, but it's ugly. It's got so many holes in it. I will literally say, oh, you know what? We need to have her in a car, and I'll write in the margins, put her in a car, and then keep going. So I have to rewrite huge chunks of it. So my rewrite will take me about a month or two. And I might rewrite it even a third time before my editor gets it.
You know, it almost sounds like a screenplay.
Yeah, I don't know. I would love to write a screenplay. I just haven't gotten brave enough to venture into it. But I'll rewrite it again once my editor sees it. And so the whole process takes about a year. And it's like a full-time job. If I can't write for longer than a week, I get grumpy. And my husband knows this.
Do you have a bell? Maybe Tim comes and brings you the cookie or something?
Oh, no bell, no bell. No, but he comes into my office enough that I make little notes like, I love you, but leave, you know.
Isn't that sweet? That's nice. Especially on Valentine's Day. That'd
be
nice.
Yeah.
With the books also, you know, the reason I ask is because you took up golf, and you can't let writing get in the way of a good golf game, right?
I organize my downtime. That's how organized I am. If I don't plan my downtime, I won't take it. So yeah, I do like the golf.
You know, talking about music just a second ago, you know, I think one time we asked about your favorite authors, and you told us about that. What might be your favorite music, and what might you go to maybe a concert to see? Who might you go see?
Oh, my goodness. You're going to laugh. I like the old guys and gals from the 80s. I am an 80s girl. So when those old bands get back on that tour bus and tour, I would love to go to one of their concerts. You know, I flip on the 80s channel every now and again and just laugh and sing. And those are really my favorites, because wow, that's when I was finding my own freedom, and it resonates with me.
Probably like Hall & Oates, maybe the Bangles.
The Bangles, not so much AC/DC, but yeah.
A headbanger at the typewriter.
Oh, yeah.
Well, of course, The Undead Pool, the next to the last book. I've got to find out, really, about a website here.
Yes, you can find me at kimharrison.net. Or if that doesn't work, you can find me at kimharrison.com. I actually got the .com the other couple years ago, and so now either one will work.
Did somebody own that before?
Yes, they did, but they never developed it, and they finally let it go. And some nice guy said, hey, let me help you out here, and I did get a hold of it. And I'm also very active on my Facebook, which you can get to from my front page of my website, and I have a blog, which you can also get to, and I Twitter under Burning Bunnies.
Burning Bunnies.
Burning
Why Burning Bunnies?
Bunnies? Because that's how I think about books. It goes back to an old Southern joke where you've got they're burning a bonfire, and of course rabbits have been living in it, and they catch on fire, and they run out into the field, and every time they stop, they start a little fire until the whole field is ablaze. And that's kind of how books are. Is one little bunny jumping around, and every time it stops, it starts a new fire.
Well, I was thinking that maybe after it stopped and you were able to catch, it was already cooked.
Yeah, it's not so fun for the bunny, right?
No. And I've heard of, like, what is it, the Standing Man? The Burning Man
the
is
burning
what
man.
It is. Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes. So the Burning Bunny. When we go to your website, what will we see?
Oh, I have a very full website. I actually design it myself. And I started way back in 2000. So, I've been working with this for a long time. And it's very full. You can find, I've got a page on the music that I used to relate to, and I've got tour information. Right now I'm putting up tour photos that are being taken while I'm on tour. Book covers, it's massive. If you start getting into it, it's like it never ends. You could just lose an hour there.
Well, I know you have a whole lot of people on Facebook. A lot of people visit mm-hmm. your webpage. Mm-hmm. A New York Times bestseller yet? I mean, it's only been out, what?
The Undead Pool?
Yes.
It has only been out 2 days.
It came out Tuesday. So you're not going to know for a while, maybe?
I am not going to know for a while. No, no. I'm writing on the number one New York Times bestseller. I'm writing on a previous book on that one.
I know that, but watch the New York Times book review and The Undead Pool. You're going to see that at the top real soon.
I hope so.
Kim, thanks a lot.
Well, thank you.
The Undead Pool. Oh, my goodness sakes, there's trouble. The next to the last book, so if you haven't read the series, you might want to start from the very first book. They're pretty much all titled with names from Clint Eastwood movies, and the names will just almost knock you dead.
To access this or other audio programming, visit our website, theflypod.com.